Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
But before I even begin into the message, I had a phone call this week from a dear brother who left a message on my phone, and he was in a rough place, and he said, "Bob, I've known him for years," and he said, "Bob, I just want you to know, I'm at a big conference of our denomination," and he said, "My heart's breaking." He said, "Because of some of the decisions that are being made that are so away from the Word of God." He said, "The reason I'm calling you is," he said, "for years I know that I've been able to get truth when I come to Voice Ministries, that you guys don't color up things. You make things absolutely applicable to where people are at and what the Word of God is saying." He said, "And you guys, you know, you stand for righteousness." And of course, we've made plenty of mistakes, all of us in this room, but to hear somebody say that, and he said, the hope that I have is that there are men and women, not just us, but many men and women that are not going to compromise the truth. And then he started crying on the phone because he said, "I am so burdened over the people, over my family, over the denomination, because they're beginning to move away from what he would call righteousness." And he began to weep on the phone. And that's a pretty powerful message to be left. But he said, "Keep standing for what's right and keep standing for truth." And so I want to encourage all of you, as he encouraged me, keep standing for truth and stand in the truth. And even if you stumble or even if you fall, get right back up and embrace the truth. Amen? Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to the Gospel of John, John chapter 4. And before I get into this, this morning I'm going to be speaking about hope. I'm going to be speaking about hope because it's a huge word. It's a big word, and it's something that each and every one of us need to have. All of us need to have hope in our lives. When you have hope, it seems like you can run, you can go after things, you're excited, you're looking forward to something, you can anticipate things. You know that, okay, it's going to get better. And you have hope and you believe about your future. But many people, and in our day and in the days to come, are going to be a people without hope. And many of us at times are in places where we don't have hope. And you might even feel that way today in some areas of your life. Might be in finances, might be in marriage, might be in health, might be in many different things. It might be the loss of someone in your life. It might be life itself. That you feel just, "Oh man, I just don't have any hope anymore." Well, I want to encourage you today. I want you to know that Jesus is the answer and Jesus is hope. And no matter what you're going through, no matter what struggles you have right now, if you will hold on to Him, I guarantee you He will hold on to you. We sung about it this morning. When we have no hope, we end up in a place of dread and we can slip off into depression. We can even say crazy things like, "What am I really living for?" Jesus changes all that. Jesus gives us hope. Many of us can find ourselves in that place. Jeremiah 29, 11 through 13, many of you probably know that verse and hold on to that verse. And that verse isn't just for those in Jerusalem and the Israelites. It's for every one of God's people. That He has a future for you. He has a place for you. There's hope in Christ. As long as you seek Him with your whole heart, as long as you will turn to Him and allow Him to have His way. And I guarantee you, when you do that, you won't find condemnation. You won't find someone that's critical. You'll find somebody that's loving and will forgive you at a moment. And He'll embrace you and hold on to you. I believe that God wants you to understand that the reason you exist is not just for this life, but also for all of eternity. That you're going to function in eternity. God's intention is not that you would lose hope, but that you would gain hope. His intention is a future and a purpose, an excitement for a plan. I want you to look at this scripture, John 4, 1 through 15, and I'm going to talk about a beautiful story. I'm going to read through it a little bit, and then we're going to talk a little bit about it. It's one of my favorite stories in the Bible because it's the lady at the well. And a whole lot happens with the lady at the well. Sometimes we see it, sometimes we don't. Starting with verse 1, it says, "Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself was not baptizing," I think that has something to do even with his love for John and what he did, but his disciples were, "he left Judea and went away again into Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to the city of Samaria called Sychar, near the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph." Verse 6, "And Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, being wearied from his journey, was sitting thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour," or it was noonday. Now you need to understand this, a little bit of how this all played out. That was probably not the best route to go, because he did not get along, the Jews did not get along with the Samaritans, Samaria, and the people in that Samaria. He didn't get along with them. There was racial tension there. But yet Jesus went anyway, and he stood his ground. And it was at the noon hour. Verse 7, "There came a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.'" You need to know that for him to be there even alone with a woman was totally, absolutely wrong. That should have never happened, especially a Jew with a Samaritan. "For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food." Verse 9, "Therefore the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink, since I am a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.'" Verse 10, "Jesus answered and said to her, 'If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water.'" Verse 11, "She said to him, 'Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You are not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?' Jesus answered and said to her, 'Everyone who drinks of this well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst. But the water that I will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life.'" When I give you a drink of this water, it will spring up all the way into eternal life. The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, so I will not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." He said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." Then the woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have correctly said, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. This you have said truly." The woman immediately tried to change the topic. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worship in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in the mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship the Father. You will worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that the Messiah is coming, he who is called Christ. When that one comes, he will declare all things to us." And Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." At this point, his disciples came back. They were amazed that he had been speaking with a woman, yet not one said it. "What do you seek?" or "Why do you speak with her?" So the woman left her water pot. It's a big deal. She left her water pot. She left everything that she had. Why she came there, she left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, "Come and see a man who told me all the things that I have done. This is not the Christ, is it?" They went out of the city and were coming to him. I'll stop right there. That's a lot of scripture to read. But there is a huge message in the midst of that scripture. When I wanted to share this, I always think about how loving Jesus has been to me and all the things that I've went through. It's a beautiful story because that woman, I believe, was hopeless. I believe that she showed up there at the noonday because she really didn't want to encounter anybody else. She was living in shame. She was living in rejection. She didn't think her life was going anywhere. And if she could show up at noon, then everybody else that would draw water would be gone, and she could get her water and go on her way. But then all of a sudden, there's this Jew that's sitting there, and she can't believe it, and she can't even believe that this Jew is going to speak to her. She encountered hope. She encountered hope that day. She encountered Jesus. It seems like a real simple message. I'm telling you, it is. Encountering Jesus is our hope. Jesus takes away all hopelessness when we encounter him. Look at her, married five times. If she was married five times, I guarantee you she suffered hardships. She went through a lot. How would you view her? What would you think of her? Look at what Jesus did. And how the reason I'm saying this is because we just sung about, oh, your grace, your grace, your grace. We have to walk in that same grace when people have been completely rejected, when people have been set aside, when they seem like they don't matter anymore. To Jesus, they matter. And to us, they need to come into that place of hope. We need to encounter them and help them. She suffered in relationships. She was living at that moment in an adulterous situation. She was living in rejection because her community no longer would embrace her. Oh yeah, the lady at the well, we just read through that. No, this woman was downcast. She was probably living in dread. She came to get her water, and there he was. Right at the moment she thought no one would be there, there he is. A couple things that I took from, that I think that is really truth about this woman. Number one, she had made wrong choices. I know I have made wrong choices. She had repeatedly failed. I know that I have repeatedly failed at different things in my life. She may have felt trapped or powerless. Have you ever felt that way? What do I do now? Number four, she was isolated from her community. I remember when I accepted Jesus into my heart and I had a radical transformation in my life. I radically got turned around by the Lord and radically saved. Coming home from a rough place that I was playing music in and seeing some people that died right in front of me, I went into my apartment and cried out, and God met me there. And when he met me there, I knew everything changed. I knew all the rules of the game changed. And I began to reach out to him and trust him. I went back and shared with my friends, my community, about Jesus. And my community at that time said, "Oh man, that's good for you, but we sure don't want that." How many of you have felt rejected because you've done some wrong things and rejected because you've done some right things? I've been in both camps. I don't know about you, but I have been. And I found out that Jesus is the only one that can sustain me in my life and keep me on path. Like this morning as we were worshiping, as they were leading worship, I was thinking, what a beautiful opportunity to just engage my heart with the Lord as they were singing and what they were singing about. And many times we can come into a setting like this and not engage our hearts, and just because of the, maybe we don't like the song, maybe something like that. But every opportunity, God wants to engage us, for our hearts to be engaged with Him. Every opportunity, He wants living water to flow through us. Every opportunity of rejection, when people go through tough times, Jesus wants them to have hope, and He wants them to have hope through you and me. I believe that with all my heart. She tried everything, it seems like, and nothing satisfied. I mean, if she's been married 5 times, she's kind of like giving up on marriage, and now she's living with somebody because she's not even going to go that route again. She was in a bad place. She probably was giving up and probably didn't have hope. And what was said even here earlier, I don't know who said it, but more and more we're living in a time where hope is going to be on the decrease. And we need to make sure that we're not hoping in man, in government, but we're hoping in Christ. We're hoping in the answer. We're living in that time. He is the answer. Something happened to that woman. She tried to avoid the situation. You know, just like when it gets down to the nitty-gritty, you know, or right when you know that, okay, I need to make a decision, you try to change the subject. Let's talk about something else. And Jesus was, no, we're not going to talk about anything else. And then she encountered the living God. And when she encountered the living God, this woman that was married 5 times, this woman that suffered rejection, disdain, was living with someone in an adulterous relationship. This woman, in a moment, encountered Jesus. And now this woman is running to the city that completely, absolutely rejects her. And she stands in the midst of the rejection, and she says, you got to come and see. I kind of always wondered when I kind of look at that, what do you think those folks were thinking in the city? I mean, why did they even go? Because look who this is. Something shifted, didn't it? Something changed immediately in her life. She went from a hopeless woman at the well at 12 noon in the heat of the day to a woman that was excited about something, excited about life. She was excited about some living water that she took in, that she knew that she was never going to thirst again. That's what we have. That's what's available to us. That's who we are. We are that living water to those who are in need. And maybe even today, Jesus just needs to douse you with some living water today, that your hope would begin to arise. Because I felt like God was speaking to many of us here, because our hope's been dashed through circumstances. And like I said, physical circumstances. Jesus is our hope. She encountered Him, and her life radically changed. She came to the well. She didn't want to see anybody. And Jesus, the loving Savior, allowed every barrier, every wall to fall down so she could encounter Him. And He started talking. 2 types of water. Things were moving pretty good until Jesus started talking about the husband. Then it kept going. But the one thing that I wrote down here that Jesus never did. You see, Jesus was revealing that about her husband because He wanted her to know that He knew everything about her, and also that she could begin to let go of all that she had went through. He didn't condemn her. He wasn't critical of her. He just asked questions and opened her up. He was leading her. He was trying to get her to understand where she was at physically, emotionally, and spiritually, so she could move into that great need that she had, that vast chasm that we sung about, Betsy sung about. She tried to change things, as I said earlier. Said He was a prophet. Then He wouldn't go away without saying, I want to tell you about water, my water. A water that you'll never thirst again. And I like that what was said there, it springs into eternal life. He accepted her. He loved her. He waited for her to come to the right choice and the right decision. The scripture shows all of a sudden she left. And she left her water pot. Maybe the Lord's asking you today to leave something behind. Might even have some value. But maybe he's asking you to leave something behind and go after him with everything you have. She had no longer any interest in that water. She had only interest in living water that came from Jesus. His water. How could she accept him so quickly? That's a question I had. I wanted an answer. This is what I wrote. He did not condemn her, even though he was a Jew. Number two, he did not criticize her, as I said earlier. Number three, he saw something in her that made her see something in him. He saw something in her. She felt acceptance and saw something in this man that she had never seen in any other man. She saw love. And love never fails. And it didn't. She ran to the one place she wouldn't have went, to the people that despised and rejected her. And many believed because of her. I used to say that she was the first missionary ever sent out by the Lord. But I kind of changed that. Maybe she was the first evangelist ever. Maybe she was the first fiery, on fire evangelist, a woman that was married five times and living with someone, and in a moment she was an evangelist and brought the whole city out to see him. That will absolutely crucify your box. Let me say that again. That will crucify your box. But all I'm saying is there's a lot of growth to happen after we're converted, no doubt. But the fact is, when we're really converted to Jesus, Jesus flows out of us. We no longer live in hopelessness, but we live in hope. Jesus is hope. That's what I wanted to share today, that he's hope. She announced to him, to them, the Messiah. She was accepted because they saw a woman full of life, full of living water. She was changed. She didn't go home. No, she wanted to tell everybody the gospel. She wanted to tell them the truth. She wasn't rejected. She had no fear of rejection. If we have fear in our life, many times it comes from those places of rejection or shame or things that have happened in our past. That woman had no shame, no rejection, no fear. She, you know why? Because love validated her. Let me say it again. Love validated her. No man, no community, no church, but the King of Glory validated her. And when he validated her, it shifted everything in her life. That's what I believe today, that when Jesus validates you, you're not critical of others. You're not critical about yourself. You don't say, oh, woe is me. Because love will resurrect a hopeless person into the place of fantastic, awesome, overcoming hope in Jesus. And when we see things shifting and changing all around us, we need to be a people of hope. And that's from this day forward, I mean from this moment forward, that we hope in what God has for us, a future, a plan. I don't want you to walk out of here hopeless today. I want you to walk out of here with hope and knowing and encountering Jesus. Whether you've went through something physically, whatever it is, I want you to live in the place of hope. The woman at the well is an amazing example of the compassion and the love and the grace and the mercy of Jesus. And maybe some of us in this room need to ask for forgiveness. Because we've been critical of others that haven't even come close to that. But in our high-minded religious selves, we've condemned people or criticized them. Maybe that's where we need to start, of just saying, Lord, forgive me. I should have never said that. Who am I to say that? I always think of how much grace has been extended to me. How can I ever be judgmental or have condemnation to anybody? And the enemy wants you to live in your loss. He really does. He doesn't want you to live in the abundance that is available through Christ. You can shake your fist all day long at God and say, why? Why did this have to happen? I think John Johnson got up here and revealed the love of God. He revealed his heart. Just lost his father. Many of you have went through that. And is trusting in the Lord. I have hope in eternity. How about you? I have hope in eternity. If I go today, I'm good. I just don't get it. I know it's a loss of people, but how exciting. I told John earlier, I was talking to him on the phone, and I said, John, I said, even when my sister went to go home to be with the Lord here recently, because I knew of the time that I had with her in the hospital in the midst of suffering and the things she said and how she responded, I knew she had hope in the midst of her suffering. I knew she had met him. I knew she was with him. I knew she had gotten everything taken care of her, taken care of. I asked her, I said, you got anything against me anymore? She said, no. I said, I ain't got anything against you either. Because I was the baby, and she was 6 years older, and she whooped me quite a few times. I had a little stuff inside, you know. Yep, I can see it. But Jesus brought us back to the place that we needed to be, and everything was good. That's what Jesus does. You guys are overcomers. You guys have everything available to you because you know him. We need each other. We need to encourage each other, but you really just need him. And if he's called you out of something, you know, let me share this. Water. I'll never have thirst again. Okay, what does that really mean? And that water makes you thirsty. The only thing that came to mind was like salt water. If you drink salt water, what does it do? It just increases your thirst, and it's not good for you. Right? Am I right? Okay, so salt water, sin. You got an area in your life that you sin in, or you got how you used to live, and so you go back to that water, that salt water, and you grab a little bit more, and you keep doing it, and you do so much salt water because you just think that somehow you're going to get satisfied or it's going to fulfill you. It could be anything, but you find out it never, never, never does. It just makes you more thirsty and keeps you away from the real thing that will quench your thirst, which is Jesus. He is the water that you'll never thirst again. I have no excuse. You have no excuse. It's him. It's all about Jesus, and it will always be about Jesus. He is the living water. Isn't that an awesome story? I used to use that really a lot, that story, on my religious friends. What do you have to say about her? I mean, come on, look what she did. And they would be like, yeah, I don't know, you know. What about David? Because it's about this grace and this mercy. It's not grace that we trample underfoot and we just use it so we can sin. Not at all. It's living water that changes our lives and brings hope in a powerful way. Okay. I'm going to have the worship team come back up. Is there any way we could do that song, Betsy, that you were singing earlier? Can we do that? I'd like to do that again. There's a lot of good stuff in there. So as they're coming up, don't be distracted by them. So if you're feeling hopeless, no one cares, maybe there are some things missing in your life. Don't keep drinking from the same old well. Drink from the living water. Why don't you stand? Okay. I'm going to say something before. This is real strange. I'm going to say something before we go into a prayer time. And I'm saying it after the offering. I've had this talk with several people. And God wants us to pour into His storehouse. He wants us to be givers, that we sow into God's kingdom. It says, when you search Him with your whole heart, He has plans and a future for your life. You'll begin to embrace it and know it. This is a weird thing, but in tithing, my wife and I have tithed even when we didn't have money to tithe, when we should have never tithed according to the world. It was by giving and sowing into something that the abundance came back to us. And I say this because there's an exchange that needs to happen in our hearts, in our giving, in our sowing, so that we can be hugely blessed by the one who desires to bless us the most. I would tell all of you that if you don't search with Him with your whole heart, if you don't allow Him to bring healing to you, if you don't sow into His kingdom with your time and your wealth, whatever that may be, your wealth might be something completely different, then you're going to hinder the things that God can do for your life. I bet that lady couldn't stop talking about Jesus forever. I bet she just changed people's lives because she encountered the living God in a radical way. I'm sharing with you to encounter God in every radical way you can. In your prayer life, in your giving, in your worship, and even today, if there's something that God needs to touch, if there's any bit of hopelessness in you, let's pray for you. And let's pray that Jesus will speak to you and you'll encounter Him today. I just want to do this song of worship just for the next 5 minutes. And then we're going to pray. And if you want to come forward, you can. But the lady at the well, what an amazing woman. What an overcomer. She made no excuse and she went for it. May the Lord do that in us today. Lord, I'm asking for You to move in our hearts today. I'm asking if there's been any boxes of hopelessness, that they would be shattered and broken tonight. I'm asking, God, that things would shift in our heart, that today would be a day of thankfulness, of how blessed we are to know You and to have You available because of Your grace and Your love and Your mercy, because it never fails. That this morning.
You make all things work together for my good.
That is His desire toward your life.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
Shout it out as a declaration unto the Lord this morning.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things.
Sing it out.
Work together for my good.
Declare it this morning.
You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good. You make all things work together for my good.
You say the same through the ages. Your love never changes. There may be joy in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And when the oceans rage, I don't have to be afraid. 'Cause I know that you love me.